Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to Going There, the crossroads where music and mental health meet. This season of Going There is brought to you by Johnson & Johnson, who believes that health is everything. Their strength in healthcare innovation empowers them to build a world where complex diseases are prevented, treated, and cured, where treatments are smarter and less invasive, and solutions are personal. Through their expertise in innovative medicine and medtech, they are uniquely positioned to innovate across the full spectrum of healthcare solutions today to deliver the breakthroughs of tomorrow and profoundly impact health for humanity. Learn more at www.jnj.com, at Janssen US, and at JNJINNOV Med on Twitter. This season of Going There is also brought to you by AbbVie, who is driving the pursuit of better mental health. Over the last 30 years, AbbVie's scientists and clinicians have worked to tackle the complexity of mental illness and today offer a portfolio of medicines and a pipeline of innovation that spans depression, anxiety, bipolar 1 disorder, and schizophrenia. To learn more about AbbVie's work to support individuals throughout their mental health journey, please visit www.abbvie.com or follow at AbbVie on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Today we are talking with Chelsea Lee as well as Max and Spencer Ernst, otherwise known as the band Shade. You may know Shade from their smash hit Trampoline, as well as their songs Everybody Knows I'm High and Melt. Shade's music has been described as having sharp, smart, dramatic hooks and being intellipop. They have a new album called Spinning Out that's scheduled for release June 14th. And the band will be playing shows this summer, including their performance at the Sound Mind Music Festival for Mental Health on May 18th. You can check out all of Shade's tour info, merch, and music, including their new single, Rocket in the Sky, at shadeband.com. Now, on the Going There podcast, we have the tough conversations to address important issues so we can learn from each other, challenge the stigma of mental illness, and get the care we need. And one of the most difficult issues we face on our mental health journey is something Shade discussed, which is how to find a sense of purpose and authenticity when we feel that we are in a place that we just don't fit. So, in an ideal world, we completely understand who we are, and we understand what we are here to do in our life. And not only do we know how to achieve our sense of purpose, but also we are surrounded by people who support and facilitate our being our most authentic, purpose-driven selves. So, for example, if playing music is an important part of our sense of purpose, we know how to get the instruments we need to learn how to play, as well as have the people in our lives who are supporting our musical aspirations. And when our purpose and environment is aligned, it can have a powerful effect on our mental health. We are more likely to experience positive feelings, such as joy, connection, and fulfillment. And connecting with our purpose, such as listening to or playing music, can often be a powerful form of coping when we struggle with depression, anxiety, or addiction. So discovering and developing our authentic sense of purpose can be a wonderful part of our mental health journey. The problem is that there are so many ways that we may feel out of alignment in terms of pursuing our sense of purpose. Perhaps we don't know what matters most to us. So in the example of being a musician, perhaps the idea of being a musician is something that we simply never considered. Or we don't live in an area where we have access to instruments or musical training. Maybe our mental health issues make it more difficult for us to concentrate and have energy, and thus interferes with our being able to connect with ourselves in a way that allows us to pursue our purpose. Or maybe we don't have a supportive environment, or even have people who discourage us from our musical dreams. And these difficulties can interfere with any aspect of our purpose, career, relationships, passions, or hobbies. Anything that allows us to be our authentic selves. And so, if we are not aligned with our sense of purpose and connecting with ourselves in an authentic way, it can be incredibly detrimental as we seek to feel good on our mental health journey. And one of the reasons that I was so excited to talk to Shade was that they did something so powerful in terms of their sense of purpose and authenticity. Despite being a relatively new band trying to make it in the music business, upon initially completing their debut album, High Dive, they decided that the album didn't represent them properly. And they scrapped what they had done and started over, ultimately making the album you hear now. And I think that takes such an amazing sense of purpose and authenticity to do that. especially when they themselves and others may have been feeling pressure to simply get the album out. And so I wanted to talk with them about how they understand and manifest their sense of purpose and authenticity in their creativity, as well as their mental health journey. Now, as we progress through this season of Going There, our goal is to bring you, the audience, further into the conversation. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions you have that have been sparked by our conversations with these incredible artists, and topics you'd love to see addressed. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. These help other folks find their way into the conversation so they can go there with us. So let's go there and listen to what Shade has to say. Hey guys, welcome to Going There.
Hey.
Hello.
All right, so one of the ways that we like to start off the podcast is to ask you guys about a song that you feel like is significant for your mental health journey that you wrote.
Okay, I would say for me personally, Rocket in the Sky is such a big one because we wrote that about our daughter. Spencer and I have a 2.5-year-old daughter named June, and we all wrote that about, you know, loving something so much and it being a very unexpected love. And I think that, like, every time, you know, you start to kind of spiral, you have a nice little reminder that there is this deep love in your life. And, you know, we're so thankful and blessed to kind of be where we are and have healthy family. And so I think that that's just always a really good reminder for me personally. I think Rocket in the Sky is a good one.
I'll go next, I guess.
Go for it.
I think the title track off our record, Spinning Out, is sort of that for me, where we kind of wrote that song at a point when we were feeling very isolated and just sort of like unfulfilled. And at the same time, you know, we're so lucky that we get to make music every day. But there's still that feeling that, like, sometimes we just feel, you know, we're not doing enough. We're not, you know, out there playing shows right now. So just writing about that, those feelings, was like a nice release. And, you know, just to go off that, it's really, I think we're really lucky that we can write music because it's such a good outlet to get those emotions out there. And it's really helpful for us.
The song we have that we're closing our album with is called Shapes. And it was a song that was inspired by this children's toy with all these beautiful, just kind of very basic, you know, squares, triangles and everything. When I came over one day, I think Spencer had started some lyrics about how, man, this is a lot headier than I'm under trying my best to explain it. But it's just how he was just looking at these shapes and how each one kind of represents like a different kind of emotion or struggle that people have. And the oval can't look at itself. The square, you know, sits in the corner. The triangle tries to be saintly. And it really kind of struck me about how even something so small, or, you know, you can look at something like that and extract kind of these very petty feelings from it. But it just, something about that just really hit me on a super deep level. And the theme of the song that we get to later is, you know, we're all shapes just trying to find purpose in a place we don't fit in. All it takes is one person to remind us we're not defined. And that's kind of, that's where it ends up leading. But that song is just a good reminder for me every time I hear it, that we're all just so different and we're all kind of struggling just being human. And yeah, that's probably my favorite song on the record.
One of the things that I've found is that when you have, let's take music and having kids, which both can bring such joy and open up a world that has all those shapes, that has all those emotions. I mean, that's one of the things that makes it so wonderful. But Spencer, I think what you were saying is that sometimes, like I as an example, found that I was happier than I ever could be, but also more anxious than I could ever be having kids. And there's something that happens when you get a glimpse into something that's so wonderful that the discrepancy between where we are and what we could be or what we can have gets bigger. And that can cause a lot of those feelings like anxiety, depression, emptiness. And you're sort of sitting there figuring out, wait, why am I feeling this way when there's these wonderful things in my life? But it's the very fact that your mind can now go to all of this, all these amazing places, that you all of a sudden realize what it's wonderful, but there's also a lot of pressure and fear that can go with that.
I think that's true. I think that also, just like, even though when you have, I mean, just from experience, like when you have these things, I think on another level too, it's like, you can have so much in the world, but I think too, just knowing that it's going to end one day also, like, and that no amount of things you can accumulate or experience in this life are really going to last too, is something that we all kind of struggle with as well. So even on like a deeper level, like no matter, even though you kind of glimpse those things and you can get and that you want, and that in itself can create these feelings of like desire and envy and that, I think even on a deeper level, it's like it can be a big mental struggle to realize that none of this is going to last. And that's something that we kind of deal with as well and talk about in our songs.
It's interesting because one of the things that can be very powerful about not getting too attached to an outcome, right, is that it can definitely ease things in the moment. The problem is that especially when it comes to kids, the idea that this is not going to last becomes a very scary feeling, because the road that goes down is like, what if, God forbid, something happens to our kids? And that's all of a sudden where it's harder, at least I find it harder, to go down that path in a more relaxed way. And so I think for a lot of people who do mindfulness or meditation and they don't want to attach meaning to certain outcomes, it works until they hit something where it's like, okay, wait a minute, like, but what do I do here? And I'm kind of curious how you guys have managed that.
Certainly it has changed our perspective a bit more, having a child and becoming parents. You know, you don't have to worry about just yourself anymore. It truly is like you have another thing to take care of. I think that we really just try to be in the moment and really focus on the now, which has always been a little bit of a struggle for me personally, just because I'm always anxious about the next thing. I'm always like, I'm thinking about big picture. I'm focusing on little details too. And I think that just understanding that this moment is so fleeting and really needs attention is a big thing for me. And understanding that, like, even her being 2.5, that's not going to last. I mean, time has been flying so much anyways. So it's just kind of understanding that there is a growth, but also, you know, really just trying to focus on what's happening right now, I think, is a big thing for us.
Yeah. So if we were putting it together, this is how I put it together in my head, and you guys tell me if this makes sense. In an ideal world, we have these concepts or these things that we see as bigger than ourselves, our higher power, our purpose, whether it's music, kids and family, you know, romantic relationships, you know, things that we particularly care about in the world. And having those can be so powerful, where there's this idea of, well, we'll have them out there as a little bit of a North Star, and we'll use that to organize our time and our effort and our focus. But then to be able to then say, okay, but once that's set, now we just have to do it and be in the moment and not get too attached to outcomes is a brutal little flip there. Because you start with the whole concept of like, this feels so good to know that I'm connected to something bigger, but then to all of a sudden like flip back and say, but I also have to tell myself that I can't predict it and it doesn't matter per se, I feel like that's very tough for people, especially in the mental health space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really hard to, be in control and also let go of control. Like with music, for example, understanding that no matter how hard you work, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to reach all these different goals. And I think understanding that at the end of the day, I think a reminder for me is I just need to do what I have to do each day to feel fulfilled, you know, and then the world will kind of fall into place as it is. And whatever outcome that is, I really do have to be okay with, because that's all I can control is the fact that this is what I can do today. Mm-hmm. And the outcome is up in the air until, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It's scary. I think that in the process of making this album, it was a lot easier to feel like, at least for me, it was a lot easier to wake up every day and feel like very fulfilled. Because if we, you know, every day I'd come over here and we'd work for, you know, 8 hours while June is in daycare. And we, you know that, you know, we had this deadline for this song and this deadline for this song, and it had to be mixed and mastered by this date. And then something about that, like, process was very, like, very organized. And even if we had like a day where we wrote something that wasn't, you know, great, or we didn't think it was going to make the record, it was still like we were working towards something. And then once we finished it, and it's been, you know, kind of delivered and turned in a few months ago. Now it's kind of this waiting game where we're strategizing how to promote the songs that are coming out on TikTok and how to, you know, how to do all these other things that aren't like, they're, you know, something that we've worked a lot on, but are a little out of our comfort zone. It's not just like the musical process that I think we love the most, you know, the mm-hmm. writing and the recording. So, you know, it's just like Chelsea said, we gotta make a list every morning and we just try to do the best we can each day and then try not to put too much emphasis on, you know, how things are being received or, you know, try not to set too many goals in our head that we have zero control over and just trying to do the best we can every day.
Now, so this idea of control, let's get into that a little bit. One of the toughest things that people struggle with their mental health is, and I really think almost any area of their life, is when to keep going with something in the hopes that it will get better and when to say, you know what, I gotta disconnect from this. Right. That's a little bit of what we're talking about almost with a sense of purpose. It's like, when do you attach to your sense of purpose and when do you disconnect from certain outcomes that might be linked to your sense of purpose? And Chelsea and I were just talking right at the beginning. You guys did something that I find absolutely amazing and impressive, which is that you had your first album basically ready and you decided, no, this is not the best representation of us, which for any artist is a big thing. But for your first album, that takes a lot of guts. And whether it's relationships or career paths or certain types of health behaviors, a lot of times we're sitting there figuring out, like, do I just keep going with this in the hope that it gets better? Or do I have to just know that it's not? And I am so curious how you guys made that decision. And then we can get to whether or not you have similar things just in terms of your own personal mental health. But can we start with what was the calculus there, like that you guys did?
First of all, we've known each other for so long. I think we're at this point now where we can be really honest with each other. We had a song, Trampoline, that we were really, like, we were touring for 2 years straight off this song. And we were kind of writing with different producers and writers throughout that time. We were writing with ourselves. And we just kind of had, like, this mishmash of music that we were about to pull the trigger on. And the pandemic hit. And we just kind of looked at ourselves and we were like, this isn't a good representation of us. And if we don't fully love this, how in the world are we going to be able to promote this and be excited about this, especially during a time that was so difficult for us and so uncertain? And just, we had all these tours that were being canceled. We were about to go overseas and we just had time to kind of sit and think about what this group of songs meant to us. And it didn't mean as much as we wanted it to. So we scrapped that and we spent the next half year just writing songs for High Dive. And Spencer and I were living with my parents at the time. Max had just moved into a house. We were just kind of like all over the place. And I felt like this was maybe something that we could really focus on and another thing that we could control. We could like work on this album every day and it would be something that was constant. And it also was really hard to kind of quantify during that time. And still today, like, actually doing work, you know, it's hard in this field to be like, when you're writing an album, how do you quantify how much work you've done? How do you say at the end of the day, I have gotten all my work done, I feel fulfilled? You know, we're not going into a job, a 9-to-5, where our boss is giving us like 10 tasks to do. We do them great. And then we're kind of rewarded. It's like a tricky situation. But I think that we really just looked at ourselves and said, this isn't it. And again, I think that we've been together for so long that we can kind of be honest with each other. And it is a difficult decision. I mean, it was really hard to face that. And then it's not only a letdown for us, it's a letdown for our team that has been kind of gearing up for this as well and having to tell them. And it just was a very stressful time. But in the end, we're so glad that we did it. And so with this album, with Spinning Out, we were again just really able to be truthful with ourselves. And we were able to say, like, let's make music that we really love. Let's not waste time chasing anything. Let's not, you know, let's like be really authentic to ourselves, because that's what we've always kind of done.
Yeah. And I think the sort of the reception from pretty much, I mean, all the music that we've put out, I think And what we kind of realized too with our last album was that like the songs that we wrote that were more personal and more just really trying to express like even more like difficult feelings, like our song Once Upon a Time on the last album, I feel like just really resonated with people. And it just kind of like, it was a really personal song about, you know, like first relationships and how incredibly vulnerable you are when you're that young and you love something, but it, you don't understand it because you're just starting to like learn how to be in a relationship and compromise and all that. And that song like resonated more than maybe any of the others. So for this album, like carrying that forward and just trying to dig even deeper, tell more, share more about ourselves. And, you know, so yeah, that's just been like a constant goal for us on this album is to just like really try to dive deep and share some like intimate stuff about ourselves.
You know, one of the things that can be very tough for people is that when they are feeling depressed or anxious, which I if I was reading correctly, that you guys had kind of an experience when COVID hit and there was more, you know, everybody in the music industry really got hit hard. And I'm assuming this was around the same time that you were doing the album. And what people will do, which I think is a mistake, is that they'll assume that, oh, because I'm anxious or because I'm depressed or because I'm not in a good place, it almost subtly or not so subtly invalidates their perspective. You know, so someone in that situation might have said, well, I'm not feeling it, but that might be because we're not in a really good place. And sort of, again, in a subtle or not so subtle way, invalidate their feelings and push past, which I think is a huge mistake for people. But did that ever come into play? Were you guys ever kind of questioning? It's like, hey, why are we not feeling this? Or did you just say, look, if we're not feeling it, we're not feeling it. And that's the end of the discussion.
I think it was more like, if we're not feeling it, we're not feeling it. I think that, you know, we, me especially, experience a roller coaster of anxiety all of the time, you know, and I think that our dynamic is kind of like, we understand each other's feelings. We understand this isn't just, you know, kind of a phase based on the time or the, you know, events that are going on. It's a gut feeling that we all had that was just deeply rooted and more so like what type of musicians we wanted to be rather than, you know, us feeling anxious. We were just like, this is not it. And I think, again, you know, because we've known each other, we know how to be supportive with each other. We know how to read each other's feelings. And I think that it just was an understanding that all of us kind of were in this place where it was a really hard time in the world and we were really affected by that. But almost separately, it was like, this just doesn't feel authentic to us.
I feel like the pandemic gave us like the time to kind of slow down and like take a breath for a second. And even though it was like obviously terrifying, horrible what was going on, it also just gave us a second to like be honest with ourselves about the music we were making. And Chelsea is really kind of like a North Star on like, you know, obviously like she is the like her voice is the main character in the music. And when she came to us, I mean, Spence and I, we kind of deep dive on production, and we for that batch of music we were kind of going deep in a rabbit hole there. And Chelsea's able to kind of, you know, come in with some fresh perspective sometimes, and she really kind of was the first person to kind of raise her hand and say, hey guys, I don't think that this music is something that I'm really resonating with. And then Spence and I kind of were able to kind of see how she was feeling and then reflect on it ourselves and realize, yeah, you're right. This is not like, this isn't, you know, representative of who we are. And that was kind of how the process, that's how kind of how it all went down. But I feel like we you know, like that's like something you have to do constantly. Even on this last record, there were times where we worked on the song Rocket in the Sky, for example. When we recorded it, it was kind of fresh after Spence and Chelsea were feeling all of these huge emotions for June. And you know, even me as her uncle, I was feeling all this, just watching them and seeing June grow and just seeing their love and the love that I was feeling and all that was very powerful. And we recorded that song, right, like basically with piano and vocals live without any headphones or anything in their living room as like a demo. And we took that and we ended up going out to LA and working with some really talented people and kind of reimagining the song in all these different ways that felt really kind of cool at the time. But after some perspective and we realized, you know, the best version of the song that, which really just resonated with us the most was the demo. So, you know, there's always, it's hard to know it's, you're always kind of asking these questions about what's resonating and what's not. And sometimes you just got to go with your gut. And
hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Yeah, and that concept is really interesting. And I'm going to just talk about Rocket in the Sky and maybe not contrast it, but with Everybody Knows I'm High. Because when I don't know what the intention of the song was, but to me, it really resonated as a metaphor for the stigma of mental illness. Like whether or not it's high, anxious, depressed, there's that feeling that whatever we have, something from our history, it's like everybody knows. And that makes it like 10 times worse. And there's this kind of interesting contrast of when to be authentic, because Rock in the Sky is like what you're talking about is like this beautiful feeling. You just want to put that out in the world. And then this thing of, but like, I don't want everyone to know I'm high. I don't know if that was the intention of the song. That was kind of how I took it. Maybe it was excited that everybody knows that you're high, but I took it as sort of like, oh God, everybody knows I'm high. And so it brings back that question. It's sort of like when do you know when it's, you want to share that authenticity and when you kind of want to hide it a little bit in the music, it may be one thing, but on a personal level, it's kind of like, I want everyone to know how much I love my kid, but I don't want them to know I'm high. You know what I mean?
Just to go back, I think that's a really cool interpretation of the song. And I think that's definitely kind of like definitely valid. I think for us, it was more us trying to be authentic with our, you know, our fans and saying that like, and we were in, at the time, we'd been in LA for 2 months. We were writing songs and it was a lot of fun, but we feel like our most authentic selves when we're back in on the East Coast with our family, with our friends. And so that song was really just about like, you know, you feel anxious when you can feel really, like out of place when you're not with your family. And it's more like about the importance of like valuing that, like being able to be silly with your friends and how good that is for like your mental health. I think at the end of the day is what that song is kind of like at its core.
I just want to point out for a second that like that Spencer like just really, really so kindly told me that I completely misinterpreted the song. And I want to appreciate that because that was such good parenting. I just want you to know because I actually feel like I said something close, but like I totally didn't. And so I've both been redirected, but like I left.
No, but you kind of did. You kind of did. No, honestly, it's more it really like that song for me is about us being in LA and just feeling like we don't belong. And just it makes us really anxious. Like we love the East Coast. We always feel a bit we're not cool enough or something for LA. Like we can't like fit into the scene. So I think that you're onto something.
Yeah,
there.
You had it. You said it wasn't like a joyous, like everybody knows I'm high.
Woo! No, it definitely was like a paranoid.
The opposite. Yeah. Like feeling anxious about it. And it was funny because we actually like struggled a lot with like how it's a hard concept to the song's kind of hard to describe because I mean, Chelsea's like smoked weed like twice in her life and Spence and I did a little bit more, but it became a bit like, you know, a bit of like a you know, like, how do we market this song? And we thought, like, you know, I don't know. Now I'm going down a rabbit hole.
But I will say this, going back to your question, I personally think it's very important for artists to be as vulnerable as they're comfortable with. And I'll just relate this to me being a mom and going through, Spencer and I went through a lot of struggles to become parents the first time and the second time. And I feel like there was really no conversation about infertility, miscarriage, secondary infertility. I feel like that conversation was so hard to find. And I feel like with mental health, obviously it's really, it's become, people are way more open now, but I love seeing artists being vulnerable, because then I can be like, oh, this is something that actually happens. I'm not alone in feeling this way. It gives a lot of resources. You know, I like being able to see other people that are going through the same thing. So I would say, you know, I really do believe that as comfortable as you are, you know, sharing how you're feeling in your life, please do, because it really does help, you know, other people that are going through a similar thing. And it's not a scary thing anymore. It's not a something that needs to be like hush hush. You know, people are very understanding and supportive, and there's definitely a community that's ready with open arms. So that's what I would say.
Speaking of which, Max, it sounded like, you know, we go down rabbit holes here. So if you were going to go down rabbit
holes. I don't even know where I was going on that. It was,
I'm
just
here for it.
The point that the song is very tongue-in-cheek, and you know, we're not huge donors, but it's also like, it's not like, you know, we're not judging or anything like that either, but it was definitely difficult trying to wrap our heads around what like we kind of got worried about how people would interpret it, and then like if it was, it became a lot more than I think we really got in our heads about it. But really, at the core, it was just about feeling anxious and relating it to that feeling of, you know, being high and like paranoia that everybody knows that you're, you know, that you are, and it's really, everything's really okay and it's in your head. How's that?
Awesome. Yeah. Can we drill down a little bit on anxiety, because anxiety manifests differently for different people, and I'm just kind of curious for you guys, like how it comes across, like how it feels, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're doing, how you cope with it.
I can start, I guess. I feel like I'm the most anxious of this group. I would say I maybe don't have the healthiest response to anxiety. I feel like I'm a little bit more shut off, where these guys certainly like want to talk about it more. They're very much about, you know, trying to get it out in the open and trying to fix things sooner rather than later. And I feel like I'm a little more closed off. I feel like I especially get anxious when I feel like I have no control over anything, but I feel like there's too many loose ends, so I feel like for me personally, kind of making lists is a big thing for me. And something that these guys help me with a lot is I'll make a list about things that I'm really concerned about or worried about, and we'll kind of go through each one. And I think having a conversation about something that is really kind of occupying your mind in maybe a negative way is really helpful. I find that they talk me off the ledge a lot. They're really great at kind of being like, all right, well, this is what's happening. This is what you can control. And the rest is kind of history. And so I think that for me, it's really helpful. We're so different in that regard that it allows for a nice balance. We certainly butt heads as well. Like, it's not all butterflies and roses over here, especially with this one. He drives me crazy, but it's just a really like...
Let the record show that Chelsea is pointing at Max. I'm going to need a little more clarification on that.
We're like siblings.
Yeah,
at this
we're
point,
more like,
you know,
siblings. And Spencer is kind of like the... I'll give it to him. He's more...
He's the zen one
in
this group,
for sure.
He's a little
bit more like the guru. I don't always feel like the zen one. Let's put that on the record. I think he's good at diffusing stuff. I think Chelsea and I can get a little bit more like...
No, I'm right. No, you're right. No,
or,
I'm right.
Or like think that we're like explaining ourselves.
Oh,
like
it's a disaster.
But like we're actually just like making... Like we're just not really... We...
Escalating the issue,
not like really trying to like listen and kind of calm things down.
I think we're all pretty good though.
Would it be too much to just ask for one example? I honestly feel like very curious about one of your.
Oh my gosh!
Let's see.
I can chime in here. I think I can think of one pretty good.
Can. Okay, let's hear.
Oh, let's see. Well, what was happening? It's a small thing yesterday.
We were.
It can be like really small things. Also, I'm pregnant and I'm really grumpy and I'm feeling like really annoyed all the time. And so I was already being not a great person.
We're doing a cover, right? We're doing a version of Rockin' in the Sky acoustically. And at the end of the song, Max and I were pushing to go into something kind of silly, which was, what was the song that we sang at the end? Why are we blanking on this?
It was a cover. And my mind versus their mind, I'll show you right now. So we're practicing. We've got about 20 minutes until this live.
We're going live on Instagram.
Promote like something super chill. We've got 20 minutes and they want to change up the plan in 20 minutes and they want to practice something that we don't need to focus on. So I'm more like, we only have 20 minutes.
I know what it was.
And they're more like, we have 20 minutes. We can do so much. So I think that like our brains just work so differently. And I have two of the same brain against one brain.
Yes, it's funny. Spence and I are more on the same page, I'd say, with being like, no, we can just, let's just add this little thing in our like, and then Chelsea's kind of.
They're more like half full. I'm more like cup half empty. I don't know
about that, Chelsea.
100%.
in this context, like maybe more spontaneous in terms of like trying to do something musically. Max and I are more down for, and Chelsea's like, this is something that I want to think about more. I don't want to just rush into things. So in this context, we had kind of maybe Max more strongly sort of pushed for it. And then at the end of the day, it ended with a conversation in the bedroom where they're just kind of trying to explain their point. And I'm like, hey, I think we need to.
We sound like.
It's
this
true.
Is like this.
This is what. Hey, this is what we're doing, though. This.
No. But I will say this.
Take my breath away.
Okay. I will say this. I think it's just like small things can build up to big things in this relationship. But at the end of the day, we come together. We have a conversation about it. In the beginning, when we started, so I've known these guys since 2007. So when we first started our friendship and first started this kind of like journey, it certainly was really trying to figure out each other for like years. And I feel like
we went through some rough patches.
And I feel like we're finally 15, 16, whatever years later, we're finally getting there where we really understand each other. And I think it just really does take time because everyone is so different.
You know, Spencer, you're saying you're not a Zen master, but I think you've Zen mastered the shit out of this on a couple of occasions. That's a clinical term, by the way. Zen mastering the shit out of something. So, well done. My wife and I have very similar things. When she's got time, she thinks of everything that she can do in that time. And I think of like, okay, it's 20 minutes from wherever we have to be. Let's go and sit there and do nothing. Just so that we're on time and, you know, and that's our
100%.
I don't know who's right.
Oh my God.
I'm certainly not going to say that I'm right. Cause honestly, I'm never right.
Yeah. Just do not do that. Yeah.
So let us pivot for a moment because one of the things that you guys are talking about is the authenticity and how important it is for artists to do that. And, you know, you guys have done that in your song. We were talking earlier how on the new album, you know, different songs hit you different ways. By Myself hit me in just, you know, in for whatever reason, it hit me. I've only listened to it now 13 times since I got the album, which I very much appreciate. But the thing is that for a lot of us, music is the first place where we start to learn about how we feel. We start to learn about what matters to us. We start to feel like there's someone out there who actually understands, which is very odd considering most of the time we've never met that person. And so you guys are doing that for people. What were the albums, songs, or who were the artists that were that for you guys? That were sort of like, this is how I started to learn about myself or maybe who I go to or what I go to when I'm in a tough spot.
Well, I think like the first live show that Spence and I ever really went to was we went to see Coldplay in 2001. This was like, I think we were like 11. We were about 11. And Rush of Blood to the Head had just come out. And I have like a very vivid memory of like getting in an argument or something with my cousin Tucker. With our cousin Tucker, he was over. And we got like this like big fight and we were like 10 or 11. Love Tucker, but I just remember this. And I remember like going outside and like listening to my headphones to the song Rush of Blood to the Head. And I felt like Chris Martin was just like, speaking into my soul. And I just felt, I felt so like, that was like the, probably the moodiest. It's just one of the most vivid memories I have of listening to a song, like tied to like a specific moment. And it felt like, I felt like I was like in a movie and just like, but that whole album, I think, was just so, I feel like Chris Martin and that Coldplay, they're the masters of just, even if it's not the lyrics, it's like the music and the intention behind his voice, I think, that just resonates so deeply with so many people. But that album, I think, was, and that song specifically really hit.
I think like what's cool too about, what's beautiful about music is that you can have that when you're young and then you can continue to have that now. Recently, I was listening to, I don't even know how this song came up, but like Johnny Greenwood, who's one of the, if you don't know, like he's one of the guys in Radiohead, and he scores movies. Like he did There Will Be Blood, and he scored this movie with Daniel Day-Lewis called
Phantom Thread.
And before we'd even seen the movie, like that song came up, and the song on the album is called, I think it's called Alma. It came on and just hit me so deeply. It's only, there's not even lyrics either. It's just purely instrumental. It's like piano, very simple piano, and like this just haunting string arrangement. And I remember listening to it and like, yeah, it makes me emotional even now, but like with Chelsea and my daughter June, and I was like just tearing up. It was like, even now, like just thinking about it, it really makes you emotional. And then I told Max to, I just said, Max, listen to this song.
It's crazy.
I did. I said, Max, listen to this song.
I came over at like 9 o'clock or like 9 or 10 in the morning, and I had like a coffee, and Spencer was like, hey, check out this song. And I like sat down in the living room and he played it for me. And
I left the room. I knew, I had a feeling it was going to hit him. I played it. I left the room.
I burst into tears listening to it. Or I like, maybe not burst, but there were tears streaming down my face. I'm like, what the hell was that? It was just so.
It is really crazy how music can really like.
Without lyrics.
Yeah.
Without lyrics and just, you know, just so unexpectedly hit you. It's pretty insane.
I think it shows too, like, just like how deep all of us are as humans, and how like there's just so much going on in your brain, and like there's so many things that are, that you feel or that you are maybe buried, and like music can just like reach down into those things and sort of bring them to the surface in this way that nothing else can. So I don't know. It's just, and we're just real quick, we're so lucky that we get to do that for people, and like for our selfishly kind of like for ourselves that we get to do that.
I feel like those kind of songs where you feel like you can cry when you're writing it or when you're hearing it is kind of like the best. But like a part of me wishes we could just do all the every song like that and just chase that. But you know, you don't always want to listen to that kind of stuff, and you don't always want to create that kind of music. But I think,
and that's not the music either that you necessarily need, right? Some person might need like a pick me up and stuff. So,
but I think speaking for myself, my favorite songs on this new album are ones that are more like Spinning Out and Shapes, and where it's just very much about like. Even We Live, We Die, where you're really just trying to tap into like some very heavy stuff. But
yeah, I agree. I think we're all kind of on the same page there.
Chelsea, you got a favorite artist, song, or album?
I grew up listening to a lot of standards, a lot of Frank Sinatra, a lot of Nat King Cole. So I think that more so music that I can just put on and be like, I feel amazing. You know, I can put it on in the background and it just like instantly puts me at ease. I think that that's, you know, kind of a different, it's a nostalgic thing that I just think that is really, and I think that maybe all music that you kind of grew up on, like Imogen Heap, Patty Griffin, you know, I think that there's just a lot of music that just holds such dear memories that, you know, it's like a different kind of feeling that it gives you, I guess.
What about you?
Probably my top ones. I think Joy Division, Atmosphere always gets me. Smith's Please, nice. Please, Please. Those are
so good.
Cure, Pictures of You. Those are probably.
Nice.
I got to think back. I did have a time where Pearl Jam's No Code hit me as an album. It's probably one of the albums that just hit me at the exact right time, the exact spot that definitely.
For sure.
And then probably, I think, Patti Smith's Gloria, for some reason, just kind of does it. I'm not, you know, with some of these things, I'm not 100% sure why. And then like Tracy Chapman's Baby Can I Hold You. Okay, that's I think that
would
be
yeah.
my final. I listed a lot there. That might be too much. So we can edit out whichever ones we don't like. But no, I don't know that anyone cares about my personal choices.
So. No, I know. No, I'm sure they do. I mean, but
those are all those are like some of my different those are some of my different moods, I guess.
I love it.
It's crazy how there's certain albums that will hit you though at certain points in your life that it just like becomes so like, you know, every time you hear it, it just that it triggers all those same kind of feelings you had at that time.
Yeah. I had a Rufus Wainwright cigarettes and chocolate milk like moment when I was living in the West Village where I was just kind of like, okay, I was like, I don't know why this seems like I just am like hearing it in my head every time I'm walking somewhere, but that also had the same thing. But I will tell you By Myself is got a very strong beginning. Cause I don't generally hear that many songs. You know, I've had so many songs over the course of my life, that many songs that are like contemporary that I'll like go to. So I'm looking forward to a year from now. Maybe I'll be able to say that's the one that's kind of up there for me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. It is so great talking with you. It's been very cool to watch your guys' success. And now this new album is so great. And so I'm looking forward to following your careers. I hope we get a chance to talk again.
Anytime.
Man, you guys have a really cool family unit. Take care of yourselves and each other because it's definitely something special.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having us and taking the time.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thanks for talking to us.
So there it is. Shade and I talking about how they understand and develop their sense of purpose and authenticity on their mental health journey. Now, there's so much that we can take away from our conversation with Shade. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight was their discussion towards the end of the podcast regarding being comfortable with vulnerability. Now, our natural response to feeling vulnerable is to be defensive. By definition, vulnerability is the recognition that we have identified something that could threaten or hurt us, and we want to protect against that. So for example, when we get anxious, our natural tendency is to try to suppress, avoid, or otherwise downplay our anxiety. We would even go so far as to shame ourselves for feeling anxious. But the problem with this approach is that our goal then is to only lessen the anxiety, not figure out what may be wrong. And we can suppress our anxiety by ignoring it, convincing ourselves we are irrational, or engaging in unhealthy behaviors such as binge eating or drinking. All of those things will make us feel less vulnerable in the moment. But long term, we will actually be more vulnerable, because we won't have figured out what was wrong that may have caused the anxiety. We may have a biological tendency to be anxious that may be best managed with medication. We may have discovered something in our professional or personal lives that needs to be addressed. Or we may have realized that engaging in unhealthy behaviors, such as binge drinking, may leave us more anxious and agitated. Now, in Shade's case, they were vulnerable enough when working on their first album to realize that it did not align with their purpose. They didn't avoid or suppress that feeling, and as a result, they have a product that feels much more aligned with who they are as artists. And there are many ways that we can develop this sense of vulnerability. We can listen to music that makes us feel things. We can be curious rather than critical of our feelings. We can journal about what we are feeling and why. We can seek out therapy to explore those feelings more deeply, or reach out to others online through support groups or with friends and family to help us better understand why we feel the way we do and how to cope. But whatever we are comfortable with, it starts with embracing rather than rejecting that feeling of vulnerability. Eventually, we realize that being vulnerable is actually what truly protects us on our mental health journey. I want to thank Shade for this wonderful conversation. This season of Going There is brought to you by Johnson & Johnson, who believe that health is everything. Their strength in healthcare innovation empowers them to build a world where complex diseases are prevented, treated, and cured, where treatments are smarter and less invasive, and solutions are personal. Through their expertise in innovative medicine and medtech, they are uniquely positioned to innovate across the full spectrum of healthcare solutions today to deliver the breakthroughs of tomorrow and profoundly impact health for humanity. Learn more at www.jnj.com, at Janssen US, and at JNJINNOVMed on Twitter. This season of Going There is also brought to you by AbbVie, who are driving the pursuit of better mental health. Over the last 30 years, AbbVie's scientists and clinicians have worked to tackle the complexity of mental illness, and today offer a portfolio of medicines and a pipeline of innovation that spans depression, anxiety, bipolar 1 disorder, and schizophrenia. To learn more about AbbVie's work to support individuals throughout their mental health journey, please visit www.abbvie.com or follow at AbbVie on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And I, of course, want to thank Consequence Podcast Network and Sound Mind Live for including me in this wonderful project. And thanks to Pete Wilson and the Rooks for letting us use their song, I Know. If you are struggling with anxiety, depression, or addiction and are looking for help, please call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration National Helpline at 1-800-622-4357. If you're thinking about harming yourself and want to seek help, please contact the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. You may also go to the Sound Mind Live and Consequence websites for more information. So be healthy, be safe, and be kind to yourself and others. See you next time at the Crossroads.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.